Welcome, everybody, to Family Worship Center. Amen. It's awesome to be here. I know the weather's awfully cold tonight. Old man winter decided to step back up and hit us upside the head with 10 degrees and 30 mile an hour winds, but I thank the faithful that are here. So, and number two, we thank all those that are out on Facebook right now and social media and the Family Worship Center app. So we're stepping up to the plate on the app thing. So we also know that there's no distance in the spirit, right? We're going to have the word given to us today by Dan Farrell. Now you're probably wondering why this is happening. Well, our pastor, Pastor Chris and Pastor Kelly and Kristen, they're up with Bishop this weekend over in Ohio. And he's asked us to make sure that we pray for his ministry. He is preaching tomorrow at the Family Worship Center. It's Sunday, March 13th. Two things. We know tonight, is it fall ahead or spring ahead? Spring ahead. So he's losing an hour of sleep. So we pray for our pastor. We pray for them, and just an amazing service. Amen. So tonight, children's classes. We're going to have them combined. Both Zion's Lions and Kingdom's Kids will both be with Melissa. A couple great things tonight. After service, come on downstairs. Joyce is so awesome, has made a phenomenal snack for us. And we'd love to have you guys come down right after the service for a quick bite, cup of coffee, before you head back outside. The other, I really want to encourage you as well. There's a lot of really awesome things that are happening on Wednesday nights. Not just the prayer, but I mean, we're seeing some amazing changes in lives. We have people that are being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We have people that are, being saved. I mean, so there, we have people who are being healed. I mean, the healing anointing here last Wednesday was amazing. You know, we even had a situation last week where literally, the Lord identified a possible threat in somebody's life and we prayed against it. I mean, so the Spirit's flowing so strong here. And by the way, Pastor Kelly tore it up, didn't she? Man, did a phenomenal word she gave us the other night. So I really encourage you to make the effort to come. We start at 6 o'clock. We go through prayer for about half hour, 40, 45 minutes, however the Spirit's leading us, which is followed by about a 45 minute to an hour teaching from Pastor Chris. This is a teaching that you're not going to get here in church on Sunday or Saturdays for us. But this is a word that you're going to get that's going to go deeper into some of the things that, teaching us who we are in God, who we are in Christ, and the weapons that we yield. So it's an amazing teaching. Other great opportunity, while this is happening, Kristen is doing an absolutely amazing job with our Jay Walker's youth ministry. It's growing. It's for kids from 8 to 15. It's growing each and every week. And she is just, it's amazing watching how these kids are blossoming, they're coming together, and how they're really getting down to the Word of God. So, hallelujah for that. And just keep Kristen in prayer. As a former youth pastor, it is a battle. Amen. It's a battle, but guess what? It's worthwhile because that's our future. All of us at one time were in a youth ministry, and that's where many of us first heard the Word of God. So that's a great responsibility that she has. So we just give her the praise and honor and just fill her, Lord. Just fill her. For those of you that just can't get enough church, right? We just can't be here enough, right? Saturday morning, March 19th, 10 a.m., Pastor Kelly is bringing back the Power Up class. It's a phenomenal Bible study, great time of encouragement here in the church. You really get to hear a lot of Kelly's heart, a lot of what the Lord is discussing with her. And if you're not... If you still have some energy left over, and if you want to fellowship some more, Holy Fire is coming to Family Worship Center Friday, March 25th. For those of you who have not been here to hear Gordon Austin and his team, they are absolutely amazing. Gordon Austin and Teen Spirit Ministries, his daughter Jennifer sings with them. The woman has the voice of an angel. It is an incredibly anointed evening. And, it's awesome for us to come together and bring all of our brother and sister churches together, for us to come together as one family to lift up the name of Jesus. Amen. So I just tell folks, make plans to attend. There is no cover charge. There absolutely will be a free will offering for you to give as the Lord would ask you to give. But I promise you, if you come, you will be blessed. So Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. And we thank you, Lord, as well, because you have told us who we are, and you're opening it up in us right now, Lord. Father, you said in Psalm 107, let them extol him also in the congregation of the people and praise him at the seat of the elders. Father, we just give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and we just pray over this worship team right now, Father. We just pray right now, Father, that that Judah shall go forth of the battle, Father, that they shall go forth, that they shall plow through the Spirit, Father, that they shall plow through, Father, this good ground that is the Family Worship Center. For the ground here is fertile for the Word of God to be planted. So, Father, we just give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, Father. We ask that your will be done this day, not our will. We leave at the door the problems of the day. We leave at the door the things that are not of you, Jesus, for your name is above everything, Lord. So we just give you the glory, the honor, and praise, for you are so worthy. And, Father, we just pray right now, Father, that you'll just let your Spirit all throughout this house, that hands will be raised, lives will be changed. For, Father, you have told us that we are blessed and highly favored. So, Father, we give it back to you. We give you back the highest praise. And we do this in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let God be praised.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. mercy endureth forever.
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time?
God is good.
Oh, praise God. Just want to welcome everyone tonight. And it seems like I'm glad Dale's on this side because everybody's edit is so weird. But that's all right. You can worship over there and Dale can worship over here. We worship here and we're fine. So new song. So the first part, hardly any music. If you want to clap, you can clap anytime you want in any song, but this is a good clapping song, so and a good worship song, so join in.
You move the mountains, told the winds and waves be still, cast out demons, bid the empty soul be filled. Now this breakthrough, now this freedom in your name gave us power and the keys to do the same. Your old redemption made accusers drop their stones. Showed us mercy with your mighty miracles. Now this breakthrough, now this freedom in your name gave us power and the keys to do the same. Oh, we proclaim in Jesus' name, walls fall down in Jesus' name, strongholds break. Amen. We are healed in Jesus' name. Miracle in Jesus' name. Pour it out in Jesus' name. Amen. Crush the darkness, made a fool of death and grave. Oh, King Jesus, you made royals out of slaves. Now this breakthrough, now this freedom in your name, you gave us power and the keys to do the same. Oh, we proclaim in Jesus' name, walls fall down in Jesus' name, strongholds break. Amen. We are healed in Jesus' name. Here is
We walk in your victory. We stand in authority. All for your glory. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. We walk in your victory. We stand in authority. All for your glory. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. We walk in your victory. We stand in authority. All for your glory. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. We walk in your victory. We stand in authority. All for your glory. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. Praise God. We walk in His victory. We walk in the freedom. Wow.
presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Well, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. I'm sorry when I just don't do the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come to my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. I just want you. In nothing else. In nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. In nothing else. In nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. In nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, and nothing else, nothing else will do. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in His holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, You don't owe me anything more than anything that You can do. I just want You.
I just want You.
I just want You and nothing else. And nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want You and nothing else. And nothing else.
Nothing else except for Jesus. Nothing else except for Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Oh, we just praise You, Lord. We praise You, Lord Jesus. God, we thank You, Lord, for everything. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. I just want You. I just want You, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want You. And nothing else. And nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want You. And nothing else.
Just ask you to just stay in a worshipful atmosphere and attitude. The title of this sermon is Come Follow Me, and we're talking about choices and relationships. If you think about when Jesus said, come follow me, or just follow me, it would just seem like a simple yet so powerful of a statement that he said, come follow me, or follow me. That takes a lot from the person who is on the receiving end of that. Really? You want me to follow you? And we're going to talk about that tonight. But it's just real powerful, and we're going to see about that. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Here's a couple examples of Jesus saying to people, follow me. Matthew 9:9 says, as Jesus went on from there, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, He told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, said Jesus, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you to just continue moving in this place, Lord, moving in our lives, Lord, that we could say that we just was in your presence, Lord, and that you changed us from the praise and worship to the word, Lord, to everything, Lord, that we left this place better than and closer to you than we did when we came into this place. And just be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we got two people over here now, so that's good. And then Bill and Jody's on this side, so we actually have four people on this side, so this is awesome. So if I stand over there, I get yelled at by the streaming people, then I'd be out of camera view. So I'll stay in my lane. So here are two separate times that Jesus told his disciples to follow him, or people to follow him. At the beginning of the ministry, he told his disciples to follow me. And then towards the end, he came with this verse here. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. This was towards the end of, and he's bringing up the thing about the cross, and the disciples, you know, weren't exactly, you know, what that encompassed. They didn't capture that. Why is he even talking about taking up a cross? But they were to find this out later. Not everybody followed. There was in Matthew chapter 19, a rich young man was talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, you must sell everything that you have. You know, follow me. And he said, well, you must sell everything you had. And it said he went away sad. Because he knew what that meant. There were 20 times in the Gospels where Jesus said, follow me, or come follow me, or take up your cross and follow me. And you have to realize that in the gospel, sometimes some of those events was the same exact events, you know, so because Matthew, Mark, and Luke especially talked about things in each that happened, but 20 times it said, it was mentioned, come follow me. Now, has anybody made a choice today? So the answer is there's three different choices you had there. You could have responded by raising your hand or saying yes, or you could choose not to respond because you weren't sure if I was wanting a response, or some people might not have actually been paying attention to what I was saying and chose not to listen. So, but it looks like everybody's listening, so that's good. So, but choices are extremely important in all areas of our life. Choices are extremely important in all areas of our relationships. So just kind of stay with me as we develop what I'm talking about here and see where I'm going here. So choices. There's so many choices in our lives. So most of you have chosen to be Steelers fans. And I'm not going to say anything bad about that because I wouldn't, but my wife's on the other end of that camera. So, and she's a Steelers fan. And then some of me, and then if Bob and Jamie were here, are Packers fans, and then our person usually back in the sound booth is a Dallas Cowboy fan, but we made those choices, you know, along the line. I used to be a Yankees fan when I followed baseball, and then I moved here and eventually followed the Pirates, and so, you know, we make choices. Think about the choices we've made in our lives, you know, when we graduated from school. Did we go to college or to a trade school? Or to start a career, or, you know, where did we choose to live? What relationships did we choose while in school, in our elementary school, middle school, so on and so on? Out of school, what relationships did we choose to do? There's a show out. Has anybody ever seen this show on TV called Ordinary Joe? Okay, you have? Okay, so really cool concept here, and it's sometimes really, really hard to follow. But it's about choices. The story starts with this guy named Joe. He was graduating from college, and he had several choices, but they only showed three choices that he had at the time. And then they actually show where his life would have went with every single one of the choices. And it was really kind of wild. It's, like I said, it's hard to follow up because they changed his looks. Like he ended up becoming a rock star in one. He ends up being a nurse in another. And I'm drawing a blank what he was on the other one. But he was married to one person in one of his lives, and he was married to another person in another life. And the other one, he wasn't married at all. And it just keeps on showing that. And all the choices that we made through life are really important to where our life is going and what where our life has formed. You know, we made choices today, whether to get out of bed, which everybody here has, you know, what to wear, you know, where to sit in church, and whether to praise and worship God. And you know, especially at home, I would assume it's harder to worship God, you know, because you get so many distractions at home. But those who are at home, I encourage you every week to just praise and worship God. What's our choices when people are gossiping or our people are complaining? Our choices determine our mindset. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. That is such a powerful, powerful verse, but short. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. In other words, set your minds on things above Jesus, positivity, or set your mind on earthly things, negative things. You know, so it's, and it doesn't mean just because you're setting things on the world, you're going to be negative all the time. But, and then that doesn't mean every time as a Christian, you're going to be thinking positively. But as the more we grow, I believe that that becomes more and more evident in your life. But what about your choices in regards to unforgiveness and grudges? But here's a saying from Dave Willis that says, holding a grudge doesn't make you strong, it makes you bitter. I'm going to say that part again. Holding a grudge doesn't make you strong, it makes you bitter. Forgiving doesn't make you weak, it sets you free. Wow. I remember as a pastor, this one person that I talked to refused to give up part of her past. She refused to forgive this person that this in this situation that happened in life. We don't, and God doesn't ever say, you know, forget about those things, because we're not, it's hard to forget about things that happened in the past, but we can choose to forgive. We can choose to not hold grudges. And when we do choose to forgive, it's freedom. It's freedom. You know, so many times things happen to us. People do things to us. And then we, you know, and there's a difference between having unforgiveness and also being gun shy, you know, near those people. You have somebody that keeps on, you know, messing with you and keeps on hurting you. You just, you know, you're avoiding them, but it doesn't mean you haven't forgiven them. You know, it's just harder in that situation. Great. I just somehow along the lines, electronics, I lost what the verse one there. And I can't remember where it is actually found, because I must have erased that part and I don't see it. So it's in the Bible, verse one, where somewhere in the Bible. So just follow along. Jesus said to his disciples, things that have caused people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourself. If a brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Jesus replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Jesus is talking about how we just keep on, you know, we're supposed to forgive. You know, and then there's certain times where I don't think you necessarily in certain situations have to actually go to that person, especially if it was some major thing that happened to you. But I believe, you know, maybe you don't even know where they live or anything, but you could forgive right where you are. And keep that so you can walk in victory. Because if you don't, you're not going to be walking in victory. Choices affect so many people and situations in our life. And it's important that we carefully choose what we do and what we say. So that was, we were talking about choices. Now we're going to talk about relationships. Relationships. You know, think about our relationships, our friends, the what I call the influencers. That maybe they're not necessarily friends, but they influence us, you know, for those being around us. And then our spouses, you know, and there's other ones, but these we choose. All the relationships come down to choices. We choose who to hang out with, who our friends are, those people that would influence us. These relationships and these choices are a major determining factor of our mindsets. You know, it says throughout the Bible, you know, stay away from evil and fill your, you know, mind with things above, like we mentioned earlier. If these friends and these influencers are negative, that's eventually going to drag us down. A lot of times we go through life and we say, it's not going to drag me down. It's not going to drag me down. But then you realize, it's like, hold it. Why am I saying what I'm saying? And then you realize, oh, yeah, I'm kind of doing what they're doing. And doing, saying I'm complaining and I'm grumbling and different things. Like I'm looking at things the way they're thinking. So, you know, there are times that we, you know, of course, if we're working with them, we can't necessarily avoid them. But we just have to make sure we don't let those people influence us. Our choices is what we may consider insignificant relationships still may have huge influence on others, such as offering a kind word or a gesture to a cashier or somebody working in a store or, you know, stocking shelves or whatever. I mentioned this before. When I go into a store and I'm at the, you know, cashier, I usually try to say, how are you doing, before they say anything. Because I don't want them thinking that my response is necessarily generated by them. It's cooler, I think, that if I say, hey, how are you doing today? You know, instead of waiting for the response. And they're like, it throws them off sometimes, you know. And then before I allow them to give them a chance, and sometimes they beat me on this, they say, have a good day. And I usually try to beat them to the punch and say, have a good day, because I, again, don't want it to be a response. And I make a choice to do that. Whether it helps their day or not, you know, I want to be that light there, that encourager that gets them to maybe change their mindset. Just even just, hey, someone came through and just, you know, asked me how I was doing. You know, I'm so not used to that. You know, it's incredible, you know, that we just have to watch that. In Romans chapter 12, I didn't erase that one for some reason, but I erased the other one. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, and we're talking about relationships still, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, like we've been talking about, choices, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think, and this again, how we live our lives, do not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We're thinking about others. We think about others. But rather think of yourself as sober, in sober judgment, with accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of these have one body, many members, these members do not have the same function. We're talking about the body of Christ. They're comparing it to our body. You know, I can't walk on my hands. I mean, some people might walk on their hands, but that's not what, for me, that's not what it was made for. My feet were what I'm supposed to walk on. You know, and they're talking about the church. There's many different functions of the church. So verse 5, so in Christ, we, though we many, form one body, and each member belongs to each other, to all the others. We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. It is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. And here's what all sums it up. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above ourselves. So relationships. Now, one thing that we choose our spouse. You know, think about that for if you were married, have been married. We choose our spouse. And I remember one a pastor friend of mine in the past, you know, when bringing up about family matters and, you know, the rift that sometimes comes between the spouse and the child. We have to realize we chose our spouse. We didn't necessarily choose our children. Yes, our children are our responsibility. We have a relationship, but our spouses should be our more important of the choices there, because then eventually the children will grow up. Children are definitely important, and I'm not, you know, please don't take that wrong. But the spouse is the important thing. So we choose our spouse, but this isn't the only choice that we have in relationship. We must constantly choose to keep this relationship a priority, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. Keep on, you know, choosing. Last time I heard, and it's been a while, but the divorce rate amongst Christians was around 50%, which is what the non-Christians are. And that's sad, you know. And a lot of it is because we hear, and actually Pastor Chris mentioned this last week, I believe it was. He always does that when I'm getting ready for a sermon. He always takes some of my sermon. But then he asked me what I was preaching on tonight, and it sounds like he's preaching, you know, kind of the same thing. We do that all the time, so which is great. But now I lost my place. Here we go. Sometimes people say, well, we fell out of love, or we don't love our spouse anymore. And the reason is because we chose to do something along the way to get ourselves on the wrong path. And a side note here, I'm not saying that all situations were, you know, there are sometimes divorce, but so a lot of times we choose. I remember instances in my past where different situations came up, and I could have chose to go this way, or I could have chose to go this way, but I chose not to, because I chose to keep on loving my wife and stay with my wife and loving my wife, and I never regretted that. But there are so many times where, that looks better. That looks promising. That looks so pleasing. It's kind of like Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, that looks good. That really looks good. And then end up not being, you know, good. Jesus wanted to develop people, his disciples, into leaders for them to eventually take over and expand Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus started the process by that simple yet hard request, come follow me. Once the disciples were following him, Jesus did something else that was simple. Along with their mentorship that Jesus was mentoring them, came relationships, came friendships. And a commercial here, and I've mentioned this before, the series The Chosen is such an awesome series. I've mentioned that before and here, and then Pastor Chris actually one time started watching it, and he goes, oh, I thought it was harder to actually see, but it's, you know, on the computer you would look up Angel Studios, and you could ask me this later too, and on the phone you would look it on The Chosen, the app on the phone, The Chosen, and you could watch this, and they've been through two full seasons of it, and it is so incredible about how Jesus developed relationships with his disciples. And then a lot, some of it started out, I don't remember it was at the beginning or not, or towards the beginning of him just playing with kids. And, you know, we always see the picture of him just sitting there and kids around him, but this was like expanded. It was like him actually playing with them and developing a relationship even with the kids and stuff. And it's such an awesome thing. But Jesus had it even in an inner circle of friends, Peter, James, and John, you know, of the disciples. And then we know with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, he was close to them, because when Lazarus died, he was overcome with sorrow. These mentorships and relationships that Jesus had with his disciples were like a foreshadow to what we should have with God. So many times I tell people, because, and I don't want to jump ahead here, but it's about a relationship with God. You know, not a religion, it's a relationship. And so many people, even in the Christian walk, try to live it as a religion. And they're like, they just totally missed the whole point there. Point number three is relationship with God. Our relationship with God through Jesus Christ is the greatest relationship we could have. It's the greatest choice that we could have, that we can make. This relationship is not supposed to be just a relationship, and there's a picture of Peter, and it's supposed to be Peter reaching his hand up. You know, if you remember that story, Jesus was walking on water, and Peter had... I applaud Peter. A lot of people kind of, you know, get after Peter, you know, and say, well, why did he do that? Or he had a little faith, but he had a lot of faith to walk out in the first place. And then he took his eyes off Jesus and he started sinking. And this is kind of a neat picture of, it could be anything, but you know, it looks like, you know, Jesus reaching down and grabbing Peter from drowning. Our relationship isn't supposed to be just a relationship that went, oh God, we're in trouble. You know, Jesus, help me. We're in trouble. Then we reach out to God. But it's supposed to be a daily walk with God, not a get me out of jail free card, you know, that I usually say about, you know, God's there to help me. Yes, God's there to help me, but he's there to walk with us. And he's not about, you know, being there to rescue us all the time. And nothing else. You know, it's about that relationship. Being a Christian is not just about being morally good. It's not about just believing in God. I've talked to people, you know, a lot, and I'm sure everybody else has. Well, I believe in God. That's not the only thing. You know, that's not the only thing. The world sees it so easy. It says, I'm a good person, or I believe in God. Romans chapter 3 says, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Later in the chapter in verse 23 that everybody is familiar with this is a lot, is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. James chapter 2 and verse 19 says, you believe that there is one God? Even the demons believe that and shudder. So being good, believing in God, doesn't make you a Christian. It's more about the relationship. Luke chapter 9 verse 23 said, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be a disciple must deny themselves and take up the cross daily and follow me. And if you notice, Jesus said daily. And, you know, it's hard and possibly impossible to be a Christian, and I'm not saying it's impossible, but being a Christian Saturday nights or Sundays only. That's not what the whole plan was. You know, Jesus, God wanted this whole plan of Jesus coming down so then we didn't have to live by the Old Testament rules and regulations, that they would be just kind of a there for us as a guide, but that it would be about the relationship. Back to where God walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He is so longed for that for us. And now we are able to do that. And, I mean, again, it says whoever wants to be a disciple must deny themselves, take up the cross daily, and follow me. There are some Christians that believe once saved, always saved, and I don't believe that. And if you believe that, don't get mad at me. But they use that one verse that says, no one can separate me from the love of God, which is Romans chapter 8, verse 39. This is true. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, but we can make the choice to walk away from a relationship with God. And if we do, I don't think we're Christians anymore. So it seems kind of harsh, but it's, you know, like that. I, as growing up as a pastor's kid, and then I went to Bible college, and I was a youth pastor at two different churches, and I was a pastor, and even now I see so many people that I know were Christians that are no longer Christians. You know, they were in fire for God, and they're not now. They chose to walk away from a relationship. I remember a pastor when I was, before I went to Bible college, I was in high school, and this guy was just on fire for God, you know, pastor, and his church was growing and everything, and he had been, you know, in the ministry for many years, and next thing I know, he had a relationship with I think it was the secretary, you know, it's kind of, you know, the generic thing, there, but it was the secretary, and then he ended up leaving the ministry. And I mean, I don't know where he is now in regards to his walk, but it's just a shame. We could choose to walk away from a relationship. It's our choice. Before we get to this one saying, I want to explain what sanctification is. The sanctification, because this saying is pretty powerful. Sanctification is the act of making or declaring something holy, something freed from sin or someone, or to put someone in the right standing with God. Sanctification. It's the process. So this saying from Wayne Grudem, I believe I'm pronouncing his name right, says sanctification is the progressive work of God and man that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives. Sanctification, so when we're saved, we are sanctified. But sanctification is also a piece where when we're saved, we are made right in the image of God. But then it's also a process, a daily process, which comes to this relationship. So again, it says it's a progressive work of God and man together in this relationship that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives. There are some people that I've met that are just seem like they've obtained that like Christ thing, and that should be a desire in our lives. In conclusion, our choices affect and control our relationships. Whether they are seemingly insignificant relationships, our friends, or, you know, our close friends, the influencers, our marriage, and our choices also affect our relationship with God. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said again something so simple but yet powerful. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So here we see God's sheep, which is his people, which is us. We are known by God, by the shepherd. We know his voice because we know him and we follow him. That's a lot of, I mean, it's, I don't know how many words there is. It looks like about 12 words there, but that's so powerful. God knows us. He loves us. We know his voice because we know him. You know, that's why we know his voice and we follow him. Wow, that's so powerful. I want to encourage and challenge each of us tonight to just make a conscious effort of making right choices in all of our relationships. You know, if there's a relationship out there that is strained, that I just encourage you to work on that, because I believe that's what God wants. There's forgiveness that needs to be given on your part. Forgive. But most important, I want to encourage and challenge each of you in your relationship with God. First choice that we have is to accept Christ as our Savior. And a second choice is that every day, every moment of the day, we choose to walk with God. We can make that decision on in the Monday morning when we go to work that, hey, I'm going to walk with God. But I think we got to keep it so focused throughout the day, because we can make that decision and then this comes our way. And then so many things come our way that maybe it starts wearing us down. But if we keep our eyes focused on that choice to walk for God, then that's, you know, it's so much easier. Keep the focus. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask you to just be with us, Lord, tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just moving in this place, Lord, and moving in lives, Lord. We just ask you to just help us just to go after you, Lord, to go closer to you, to decide every single day, Lord, and throughout the day, Lord, that we keep our eyes and our lives focused on you. Let it be a priority in our lives to grow closer to you, Lord. And help us, Lord, in all of our relationships, Lord, that even the just us talking to the cashier at the store, that we just shine the light there, or even just something simple as asking them how they're doing and tell them to have a good day. Lord, we just ask you to just help us and just be with us, Lord, and guide and direct, Lord, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anybody wants prayer, you could come up here and we'll pray for you. But if not, there's food downstairs. So, and if, even if you came up for prayer, you could still go in for food. So, that's good. So just remember that we as God's people are blessed and highly favored.